Well, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Matthew chapter 14. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can find a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And Matthew chapter 14 should be, I believe, on page 970. I just looked at it, but my memory's not very good. In fact, I forgot to wear green this morning, so no pinching today. I've already been pinched twice. Matthew chapter 14, as you're turning in your Bible to Matthew 14, let me ask you to remember that very first time that you began to follow Christ. Remember what that felt like, to know that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, to know that he had saved you, to know that heaven awaited you. Amen. For me, I was almost 20 years old when I was saved. And so that day is a very vivid memory in my mind. On that day, not only did I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, but I asked Carla to be my wife, and both of them said yes. And so that was a really good day for me. Today, we're talking about the doubt and faith of the Apostle Peter. It may surprise you to learn that Peter had faith, or had doubt rather, but many people in the Bible, many of the big names in the Bible, struggled with doubt. For Peter, his journey with Christ began in Matthew chapter 4. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says that as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." In verse 20, the Bible says, "Immediately Peter and his brother Andrew left their nets and followed Jesus." And old Peter had no idea what was in store for him and for his life as he gave up his business of fishing and began to fish for men, began to follow Jesus. Between that point, Matthew chapter 4, and today's passage, Matthew chapter 14, Peter had already witnessed Jesus do a host of incredible, indescribable miracles. Let me just list a few of them for you. The Bible says right after that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and he was preaching and teaching. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that he was healing every disease and sickness among the people. Peter got to see Jesus heal disease and sickness among the people. He got to listen to the Sermon on the Mount, that wonderful sermon that we're going through on Sunday night. Jesus was there, or Peter was there as Jesus preached that. In Matthew chapter 8, Peter got to watch Jesus heal a man from leprosy. In Matthew, later on, he got to watch Jesus. Do you remember the story? Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat, and the storm comes, and they go to Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, don't you even care? We're going to drown." And the Bible says Jesus woke up and said, "Knock it off," and the storm quit. You remember that story? Peter got to watch that. Peter got to watch Jesus drive out demons. He got to watch Jesus heal the blind. And most notably, look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 14. Just look at verse 13 and tell me, what did Peter watch Jesus do literally hours before the passage of the day? Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, what did he do? He fed the 5,000 with a little boy's Happy Meal. He had 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish, and somehow Jesus multiplied that food and fed over 5,000 people. And I would imagine that in that moment, as they watched Jesus perform this incredible miracle, I would imagine the disciples were on cloud 9, wouldn't you? They were on top of the world. They were shocked at what Jesus had done. And then Jesus gives him some really odd, really strange, maybe even confusing instructions found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And here in this familiar passage, the thing I want to show you today is how you can overcome doubt. And I'll even make you a promise this morning. If you'll stick with me for the next 25, maybe 30 minutes, I will not only show you how to overcome doubt, but I will show you the secret of being a joyful follower of the Lord, even in the midst of your storms. How you can endure the trials of life and grow into a joyful follower of Jesus and avoid becoming a grumpy follower of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them and stand to Matthew chapter 14. As we stand in honor of God's word, we're going to be reading verses 22 down to verse 33. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. God's word says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. And Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. I pray you would do your work here this morning, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help me to preach according to your word. Help our people here to hear your word. And I pray, Father, you would change lives as a result, not of hearing a sermon, but as a result of hearing your word, hearing from you. Father, move in our lives, move in everyone's lives who's here and those who are joining on the radio or on YouTube or Facebook. I pray, Father, you would do a mighty work in our lives. We are hopeful. We are expecting that you're going to do that. Help us to fight doubt. Help us to live by faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, thank you that your Bible is a book of realness, that we don't study the lives of super saints. We study the lives of men like Peter who struggled with doubt. And we get to see how you helped him overcome doubt. Teach us this morning, we pray, all this in the amazing name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. How to overcome doubt. The very first step to overcoming doubt is recognizing our very first point, that when you obey Jesus, storms may come. And that may sound paradoxical to you, but look in your Bibles, verse 22. Look at verse 22. What did Jesus tell them to do? Let me just read it to you. The Bible says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. The word "made" there is a word that can be translated compelled. The old King James says that he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He made them. Now, can you see the scene? They had just fed the 5,000 people with a Happy Meal. They just watched Jesus do that. And then they walk down to the shore and Jesus tells them, makes them, compels them to get in the boat. And the Bible says that he went up to pray by himself. Are they doing what Jesus told them to do? Yes or no? Yes, they are doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Now look in your Bible, verse 24. The Bible says, meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land. If we cross-reference this verse with John chapter 6, where the same story occurs, we know that they were about 3 or 4 miles into their journey. They were 3 or 4 miles into a 4 or 5 mile journey. They were almost to the other side, but they weren't quite there yet. And look in your Bible, verse 24 again. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, and my translation says, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. Battered by the waves. If you're reading the NIV, that says buffeted. The King James says tossed by the wind. In the Greek, that word literally means tormented, that they were tortured. Like, this was not a light affliction. This was a heavy, heavy storm, an incredible storm. It stormed here on Wednesday night. How many of you woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of lightning and thunder? Listen, if the National Weather Service had been a thing in Jesus' day, they would have issued a severe thunderstorm warning on this night. This was a massive, massive thunderstorm. Question, did Jesus send them into the storm, yes or no? Yes, Jesus sent them directly into the storm. Which brings us to this paradoxical truth that is all over the Bible. Jesus will often lead you into the storms of life. And listen, it's the storms of life that most often cause us to doubt. It's the storms of life where we begin to doubt. And here's one of the first ways that you begin to fight doubt. Here's the first trick to fighting doubt. Are you ready for it? The first way that you can begin to fight doubt is to know that storms are coming. To know that bad things are going to happen. Listen, you need to know and understand that following Christ does not make you exempt or immune from the pain and the heartache and the hurt of this life. In fact, if this book is our guide, if the Bible is our guide, and it ought to be, following Jesus can very often bring us great amounts of pain. Why? Why is that? Because Jesus will often lead us into storms. Now we can just look at the life of Peter, for example. Listen, we finished the book of Acts last year. So if you go back in your Wayback Machine in your mind to last year, you'll remember we talked about Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 4. Do you remember they were doing what the Lord had told them to do, telling people about Jesus? And then they were arrested. Do you remember that? And they stood before that really intimidating group of men called the Sanhedrin. And the Bible says the Sanhedrin told them to shut up about Jesus, to quit talking about Jesus, or pain was going to come their way. And listen to what Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 19. He says this, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than God, you decide. But we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. That was Acts chapter 4. Just one chapter later, in Acts chapter 5, we find them back at the temple, doing what God had called them to do, and we find them arrested. And not only were they arrested, the Bible says that they were flogged. Remember that story? To be flogged meant to have, like they were beaten so severely that the skin was flayed off of their backs. And why were they beaten so severely? Because they were doing what God had told them to do. To go to the temple and preach the word. And listen, Peter's not the only one. We could point to hundreds of examples in both the Old Testament and the New. Examples of people who were faithful to the Lord, doing what God had called them to do, and they found themselves exactly in the place where they were being hurt, where pain was coming their way, where suffering came their way, and they were doing exactly what God told them to do. They found themselves in the midst of a storm. The people in this book, they had major storms in their life. So here's the hard question I'm going to ask you today. What makes you think you'll be any different? Don't you know that storms are coming? And when they come, listen, if you want to overcome doubt, you've got to know not only storms are coming, but occasionally and maybe even often, Jesus will lead you right into the storm. Hear me, don't fall for the lie that says that nothing bad will ever happen to you. It will, I promise. I'm not a prophet, I just have two eyes. And when I look out, I see God's people suffering. I see the world suffering. Jesus promised, in this life you will have what? Trouble. Those are his words, not mine. If you want to overcome doubt, you've got to know that when you obey Jesus, storms may come. Secondly, when you look at storms, that says doubt may come, but I want you to scratch out the word may and put the word will. When you look at the storms, doubt will come. When we find ourselves doing exactly what God has called us to do, while simultaneously finding ourselves in the midst of a downpour, in the midst of a storm, doubt begins to creep in. We begin to doubt if we're where God wants us. We begin to doubt if we're doing what God wants us to do. As the storm rages, we begin to doubt God's plan. We doubt if God hears us. We doubt if God sees us. We may even doubt if God loves us. We doubt if God will help us. That's exactly what happened to Peter. Remember, they're 3 or 4 miles into a 4 or 5 mile journey. The winds and the waves are tormenting the boat, battering the boat. The boat is swaying side to side. Water is coming over the edges. The wind is howling. Lightning and thunder is going off everywhere. And then look at what happens in verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25 that Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. Now look in your Bible, verse 25. I want to know, how many of you in verse 25 do you see the phrase, the fourth watch of the night? How many of you see that? Yeah, the literal translation is the fourth watch of the night. That translates to us roughly any time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So just imagine, they've been rowing. They just had dinner. When we left the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, they just got done with dinner. I don't know what time they ate. I would guess 5, 6. They got on the boat, and they began rowing on a 4 or 5 mile journey, and it was 4:30 in the morning, and they still weren't to the other side. And the storm was raging. And then they look out and they see this person walking toward them. What would you do? Let's see what they did. Look in your Bible, verse 26. The Bible says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were, what's your Bible say? Troubled, terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. The disciples are battling a storm, and now they see what they think is a ghost coming at them, and they are rightly terrified. You would be terrified too. I would be terrified too, but Jesus, in his grace, says something so beautiful to them. You gotta note this. If you have a pen, you can circle the words here. I'll tell you which ones to circle. Verse 27, the Bible says, immediately. You see that word? Like, they were so afraid, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage, and circle the phrase, it is I. Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Do you want to know what's missing? You want to know what Jesus didn't say? He never once said, in any of the examples, Mark tells the same story, John tells the same story, he never says, it's me, Jesus. You know what he says? It's me. He didn't have to identify himself. You want to know why? Because his sheep know him, and they know his voice. Yes, yes. He says, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter, man, I love Peter. Peter being bold, maybe even, I won't say that. Peter being bold, he says, if it's really you, Lord. And some translators would say that what Peter was trying to communicate was, since it's you, Lord. But in every translation, he says, if it's you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And I love verse 29, the very first part. What's Jesus say? Come on then. Let's go. And I want you to notice what happens. He has Peter, at any point up until the story, has he been disobedient? Yes or no? No. He has been obedient to everything God, everything the Lord, everything Christ has told him to do. Get in the boat and go to the other side. Peter did it. And get out of the boat and walk on the water. Peter does it. Verse 29 continues. Jesus said, come, and climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. Can you see that in your mind's eye? Like, see that up here in your brain. The 11 disciples in the boat, they must have been shocked to watch Peter, like, climb up out of that boat with the wind and the waves rocking it, and to watch Peter start walking along. You know what Peter didn't say? He never once said, not even for a minute, he never once said that he had this conversation with Jesus. Like, Jesus, don't you know that people can't walk on water? The Bible never once records that Peter picked up a rock from the boat and dropped it to see if it would sink or float. Instead, what's the Bible record him doing? Climbing out the boat. I mean, just climbing out the boat. Walking on the water. It is a beautiful, beautiful scene. And for just a second, it was incredible. In my mind's eye, I've said often before, I hope there's like a Netflix in heaven. Because I want to see this. In that second, I can imagine him locking eyes with Jesus. Can you see it? And I can imagine the storm is raging. The storm never quit. And I can imagine in that second, Peter's smile was bigger than all of his worries. He was walking on water. Let me ask you, what was Peter walking on? Let me ask you to notice in verse 30 what he became afraid of. Look in your Bible, verse 30. But when he saw, my Bible says, the strength of the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Do you see it? What was Peter walking on? What was Peter afraid of? The wind. You see, Peter, he wasn't looking at his assignment from the Lord. The Lord told him to walk on the water, and he got out the boat, and he began to walk on the water. He wasn't looking at his assignment from the Lord, nor was he looking at his Lord, his Savior, Jesus. What did he see? The wind, the storm. He was looking at the storm, and it only took a glance like that. I mean, you can see for just that minute, his smile is bigger than his worries, but then he looks around and he sees the wind, which you can't even see, by the way. He sees maybe the waves bouncing, and doubt crept in. And the Bible says, instantly he began to sink. Listen. If you're going through a storm, don't you dare for a second take your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. Don't put your eyes on the storm. Don't make the storm your focus. Your focus has to be on Jesus, especially in times of trial and suffering. You have to be focused on Christ. Peter did not look at his assignment. He did not look at his Savior. He looked at the storm and he became afraid and he began to sink. And look at what he says in verse 30. Lord, save me. In verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught a hold of him and said, you of little faith, why did you what? Doubt. Can you see that picture? Pulling him up out of water. By the way, Jesus was a strong dude. If he could pull Peter up out of the water, he was a strong dude. He pulls Peter up rather. And he says, Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Which brings us to our third and final point. When you obey Jesus, storms may come. When you look at the storms of your life, doubt will come. But listen, friends, when you overcome doubt, worship will come. Listen, the truth is that we will all go through storms in life. We will all experience doubt of some kind. We will all do what Peter did. We'll take our eyes off our Savior and put them on the storm. And when we do that, listen, some of you may be doing that right now. And what you need to see more than anything else is the hand of Jesus pulling you out, lifting you up. You need to hear him saying, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter was pulled to safety, and Peter and Jesus went back to the boat, joined the other 11, and look at what happens. Verse 32 and 33. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat did what? Worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Listen, if you want to overcome doubt, know that storms are coming. And listen, when you do overcome doubt, know that worship will follow. If you're looking at your Savior in the midst of the storm, you will worship. But if you take your eyes off of Him for a second, you won't worship anymore. You'll sink if you look at the storm. But you'll sing if you look at Jesus. You'll waver if you look at the storm. But you'll worship if you look at Jesus. Listen, storms are coming, and herein lies the rub. All right, herein lies the rub of this whole story of Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus saved Peter from the storm. Jesus pulled Peter up. They got into the boat, and the Bible doesn't ever anywhere record that Peter had any kind of a scratch on him. That was in Matthew chapter 14. But then we just read earlier at the beginning of the sermon from Acts chapter 5. And there, Peter was flogged. There in Acts chapter 5, his skin was flayed off of him. Jesus didn't whisk Peter away to safety in Acts chapter 5. Peter was hurt. But do you know that in Acts chapter 5, there was never, the word doubt does not occur? In Acts chapter 5, Peter never doubted his Lord. There was never zero question of what God was doing in Acts chapter 5. In fact, the Bible says that Peter was joyful as he endured the suffering. If you don't believe me, let me just read it to you. Acts chapter 5, they're flayed in verse 40, they're flogged. And then in verse 41, it says, then after they were flogged, they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name of Jesus. Two storms in Peter's life. One, a literal storm on the sea, and the other, a storm with the Sanhedrin. In one storm, Peter was sinking. In the other storm, Peter was singing, rejoiced that he was worthy to suffer. What was the difference? Let me share it with you. In one storm, Peter took his eyes off his Savior, and doubt began to direct his steps. And doubt will always cause you to sink. In the other storm, Peter had his eyes squarely on Jesus. And it wasn't doubt that directed his steps. It was faith that directed his steps. Listen, believer, we walk by faith and not by sight. I made you a promise at the beginning of the service that if you stuck with me, I would show you the secret to living a joyful life, even on your worst day. To do that, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. Take your bulletin, hold it up high. All right, now in your bulletin, you should have a piece of paper. It's an insert about the new screens that we're going to get. They may be here next week, hopefully before Easter. You can tell that our screen here is washing out, so our church voted to install new screens. You can read about that later. What I want you to do is flip over the paper and get out a pen or a pencil. And I don't care which side you do it, but on one side, I want you to write a dot or draw a dot. Should look something like that. Just a simple dot. All right, now what I want you to do is from the dot, draw a line to the edge of the paper. Should look something like that. All the way to the edge. And I want you to imagine for just a minute that you didn't, the line doesn't end. Just imagine for just a minute that the line doesn't end, the paper does, but imagine that the line goes off of the paper and continues on out the door, around the world, over and over and over again. The line never, ever ends. In his book, Heaven, Randy Alcorn, wonderful book, I'd highly recommend it. In his book, Heaven, Randy Alcorn talks about this illustration of a dot and a line. And he says, I want you to imagine that the dot represents your life here on earth. 70, 80 years, 90 years, maybe 100. That's your life in that dot. But from that dot, on that line that extends off the paper and out the door, that's heaven. That's eternity. That's where Jesus is. Now, he would say in the book, what you do in the dot matters. The dot is not insignificant. The dot matters greatly. The decisions you make while you're in the dot will affect where you spend the line. The dot matters. And the only way to spend the line with Christ, the only way to spend forever with Jesus, is to repent of your sins and trust in Christ and be saved. There's no other way. And here's what Randy Alcorn says. And here is the secret to living a joyful life, even if you're in the midst of a storm. Even if the storm is raging. By the way, let me just add one more thing. In the dot, the storms rage. In the line, there are no storms. So here's what Randy Alcorn says. Here's the secret to living a joyful life, even on the worst possible day of your life. You live in the dot, and you look at the line. You live in the dot, and you fix your eyes on heaven. You live in the dot. We live here on this earth, but you fixate your eyes on Christ. And if you do that, I'm telling you, look at how long heaven is. The dot is nothing compared to eternity. We will suffer in this life. We will not suffer in the next if we know Jesus. Amen. So I beg of you, if you don't know Jesus, I beg of you to repent. Follow Christ. Be saved. And if you're going through a storm, when you go through a storm, you pull out this piece of paper and you remember, you live in the dot, but you look at the line and you live your life and you suffer your storm all to the glory of God. And to that I say, amen.